But as we jump in, I want to ask you a question. Has anyone been on a trip? Probably everyone here. Most people have. Has anyone, though, ever been on a trip where you had to change your plans? Yeah, maybe something went wrong. Maybe something went right. And you had to change your plans. You know, when my wife and I years ago went on our honeymoon, we decided to backpack Thailand because our money went the longest there. And we both like Thai food a lot. But to get there, we had to make a connection in another country, in China. And it was supposed to be a quick stop. And what we didn't realize was that our trip coordinator had changed our itinerary. So that what was supposed to be a quick flight change turned into a 2-hour bus ride, to a train ride, to an airport in a different city where they detained this American. And my Canadian wife was not willing to part from me. If you didn't know, she's fiercely loyal. And finally, after being detained in the back of this airport with security, they said, "You can go if you make the flight." If you make the flight. So that pictured us, both of our bags on my back, literally running through the airport. And as they were going to close the door, we made it. We have not been back to China yet. And more importantly, we've never used that trip planner again. But you see, that trip planner was in charge of the directions we needed to take. And we didn't have to follow them. We could have, for some reason, stayed in China. We could have insisted on a different flight in that moment and just paid for it. We could have turned around or not taken that trip at all. But we decided to take the trip that had already been paid for and been designed for us. And the trip that was planned out for us, even though it was not what we expected or would have chosen, was our trip. And sometimes life feels like that. Do you ever feel like you have been detained in the back? Or you don't know what's going on? Or what you had planned on being a quick trip, jetting somewhere, a quick flight change, has now turned into the bus ride that you don't know what is happening? And when you think it's over, you're just getting on a train. And when you think it's over, you're in the back of the security office. And when you think it's over, you get food poisoning on that plane from some weird octopus dish that they served. You never know what's going to happen in life. But sometimes, when we don't spend enough time with the Lord, we forget what He's like. And when we forget what He's like, we begin comparing Him to a trip planner or coordinator that didn't pay enough attention to what is happening and doesn't know or care about us at all. When in reality, God plans and is involved in your life. And He has not only planned and mapped out your trip, He Himself has paid for it. So you could get to the destination that He wants you to be. And you couldn't get there on your own. Psalms 37, 23 and 24 says this: "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fail, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand." The Lord has a direction that you are meant to go. Sometimes that has course changes or corrections or places that you would not choose to go. I remember when we were in Thailand, we decided that we couldn't go back there unless it was a missions trip because there was so much darkness in that place as we walked by literal temples where they made sacrifices. But the important thing to remember and understand in life is that if you know Christ, you're headed to the right destination. And just like we had specific places that we were going in Thailand, we were just passing through another country on our way home. And that is your life. You are passing through this world headed home. You're passing through. God knows the best path for you to get home. And watch this. He is sovereign enough to work inside and out of the mistakes that you and I make and still keep us on that path. And in those moments where we think that we should be on the fast track, and instead we end up on a bus, we have to trust in the one who has planned out where our lives are going and heading. Because the path is, as they say, narrow. And we see that in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, where it says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Can you say hallelujah for that? Hallelujah that narrow and difficult is our path. We're going to get into that a little bit more. God orchestrates things in our lives to keep our steps ordered. Even when we fall or fail, it said in that earlier verse, he is there to pick us back up. And remember, it's better to fall on the path than off of it. It's better to fall on the path than off of it. What I mean by that is this. When I'm hiking, maybe with my family, maybe we're hiking up the butte, and there is a laden path that we stay on. If I trip and fall, I fall on the path. I haven't left it. But if I take one of those other trails, or I decide to create my own trail, or I get tired of the path in front of me, then I run the chance of not only getting lost, but watch this, leading my family off the path. Church, stay on the path. Trust the designer. Because watch this, even when the path is hard, the path is safe. When the path is hard, the path is safe. And this morning I want to look at a passage of scripture that is often used out of context or misunderstood or somewhat ignored because of the Holy Spirit's involvement in it. And we will see that the Holy Spirit can direct our lives. And he does it with reasons that we don't always see or understand. But in Romans 8:28, it says this, "We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." And we all probably know that verse. It's quoted so often, but I want to see something there. It's good for those who love God. And love, according to John 14, 15, 1 John 5, 3, John 14, 23, 2 John 1, 6, and John 15, 10. It's a lot of Johns. Love is to keep and obey God's teachings. It says, "If you love me, you will obey my commands, my teachings." So there is a prerequisite for your steps being ordered. The person walking in obedience loves God. The person that loves God and walks in obedience, their steps are ordered. So we all want to stay on God's path, but how do we do that? You will stay on God's path if you love him, which also means if you're obedient to him. And I know this sounds like a simple message, but I want to ask you a question. Can you imagine if the church at any and every moment listened to the Holy Spirit? How many more people would be saved and changed and discipled? It's simple, but I'm gonna level with you here. Few Christians do this. few Christians really follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. But if new and old Christians alike walked like the Holy Spirit at any moment could use them, what would that look like? I want to show you what it's going to look like. As we read in the book of Acts, this is our main passage this morning, Acts chapter 16. You're welcome to turn there. I sometimes like to tell people, turn there to make sure that your pastor is not lying. Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 10, says this. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go on into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. The first thing I want to see here is that it's good to plan. It's good to plan. The planning. Now, we all have different and important skills. And get this, I don't know if you knew this, but some people are not good at planning. I won't mention any names. But you might be saving a seat for the person who hasn't got here yet this morning. And I want to see here, though, that Paul had a plan, and he had a good one. Watch this. We see in the verses prior to this that he was on the main road to the major cities. So if you're planning to preach the gospel, that's probably a good idea. Hit the main road, go to all the major cities. People can come to you there. And this was part of the commissioning that Paul received in Acts 13, verses 1 through 3, where he had a few others with him, and they were sent out to further spread the gospel. And having then returned to Jerusalem to establish specific doctrinal questions with the rest of the church, they were again sent out after the church had prayed and fasted and discussed all the beliefs that they wanted to make sure everyone else knew and that should be taught. And church, this is one way to be led by the Holy Spirit in life. The Holy Spirit can operate in the planning just as much as he operates in the moment. Because he's pretty smart. And in either case, get this, he knows what he wants to do. He knows what he wants to have happen, and he has already planned it. We just don't always know it. And when we pray, and when we fast, we should have the expectation that God can answer and speak if we are listening. The question is, do we pray and fast for direction and leading of the Holy Spirit? Or do we only want to operate, get this, in what costs us no time in planning? Expecting God will just lead us without ever asking to be led. Essentially, do we plan to hear from the Holy Spirit? Not just in the moment, but in the planning. Paul had decided to continue in the last thing he heard from the Lord. To go back through all those cities he visited, to share with them the answers that they had decided on in the Jerusalem Council. So Paul keeps going in the last thing that he was given. And this is a principle we need to understand. When God has not spoken to do something else, as hard as it is, you keep doing the last thing he said to do. And sometimes that feels like waiting. And if you're like me, that's like the worst thing that you can have to do. Does anyone like to wait? You've heard that old saying, just hurry up and wait. Sometimes it's the absolute hardest thing to do, and you just want to hear something else. But watch this. In the continuing to walk the path that God had spoken was where Paul met one of the greatest helps in his ministry and life, a man who he would later call son. If he had not continued to do what God had originally told him, he wouldn't have right then met a man named Timothy. God has a purpose in the path that he gives you. And you might not see it until you get there. Through Timothy, an entire church would help to be established. And Timothy would become the pastor of that church and a son to Paul. Did you know that the direction isn't just to a place? God directs you to people or a person. God will place people in your life and in your path, not just for you to minister to, but for you to rely on and be ministered to. Some of whom are meant to be with you for the rest of your life. So if God has called you to a place, if he's called you to this valley, he has called you to its people. These are your people for however long you are there. And when it's time to send you out, he'll call you to another people. It reminds me of a missionary that felt like God called him into the woods. So he went. He planned his little trip and he went into the woods. And the Holy Spirit said, I want you to preach to these trees. And so he did. And what he didn't know was that the people hiding in those trees heard the gospel for the first time. The Holy Spirit will help you to plan even when you don't understand it. He'll help you to plan when you don't understand. But if you are listening, he will always lead you. And then something also happens. What I'd like to call the spontaneous. Just like the man that planned to go into the woods and was spontaneously told to preach. And that's what I want to look at next. You need to plan, but you also need to be open to the Holy Spirit appearing to be spontaneous. Because again, God isn't spontaneous. He knows what's going to happen. He might tell you to do something spontaneous, but he had already planned it. So you can trust he knows what he's doing. I'm going to say that again. Did you know God actually knows what he's doing? It doesn't always feel like that, but he knows what he's doing. The spontaneous. We had to preface it with planning because some people want to believe that planning is not of God. Or you're only super spiritual if you don't plan. Because the Spirit can only lead in the moment. And that's just not true. When throughout Scripture, even Jesus planned. Luke 9:51. Now it came to pass when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. What that means is that Jesus planned to go to Jerusalem. Luke 13:33, nevertheless, I must journey today, tomorrow, and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish outside of Jerusalem. Jesus planned today, tomorrow, and the next day. If you didn't know, Jesus was a planner. And alongside that, the people of God are and should be open to the Holy Spirit's leading. At any moment, that sometimes changes what we thought was the plan. Matthew 4:1-2 says this, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. I think we can forget that we only see part of the plan sometimes. Maybe all along it was God's plan to switch directions in your life when we didn't expect it. But we have to remind ourselves in those moments that God is saying to us, this was always part of the plan. It reminds me of having kids. Many of you can relate to this. They can't always comprehend the full plan, so what do? We tell them a little part of it. Well, we tell them the end result, like, hey, we're going for ice cream. But several hours before that, we have to mow the whole lawn. We have to do all the laundry. All they think is, we're going for ice cream. Sometimes, I think God lets us do that too. I'm going to do this amazing thing in your life. What you don't know is I'm going to have to prepare you to get there. I'm going to have to clean some things up in your house. I'm going to have to do all these other things, but we are going for ice cream. Can you receive that this morning? Can you trust the Lord? Can you love him enough to trust him? In the scriptures we just read, I want to point out that the following of the Holy Spirit led Jesus into a desert where he was tempted, where he had to pray and fast, where he was hungry and he slept on the ground. The Holy Spirit's leading isn't always glamorous. It's just obedience. And watch this. We can't judge other people in what we think the Holy Spirit should do in their life. The Holy Spirit might lead some of us into a desert for a little while. Jesus walked out of that desert empowered by the Holy Spirit. To reach people and accomplish what the Holy Spirit would lead him to do. And when the Holy Spirit leads you to somewhere and you are obedient, then you too will walk through that desert and into a place of empowerment to accomplish what the Spirit leads you to next. Back in our main text, Paul is about to go on with his original plan, having picked up Timothy and started out. At first, the Holy Spirit didn't change anything. They went preaching again through a couple of the cities. And then a very interesting word appears. It says they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. That sounds a little weird, doesn't it? You're forbidding me to preach the gospel? But that word means hinder, to keep from, to withstand. That means the Holy Spirit kept telling them, no, don't go there. And he's not telling them to stop preaching the gospel or that those people aren't worth it. He's telling them to go to a different place and preach because he has something else planned. And they didn't know that later Peter, the disciple Peter, would go to that place and he would preach the gospel there. God had plans for that place as well. And that's important because sometimes when God closes a door, we think he's closed it on our calling or even the Great Commission to preach the gospel, when rather he has a specific thing or place or people he wants it done to and with. It's not a stop it, it's a start it, but over here. So he's not canceling your calling or canceling your heart for people or whatever you feel like he's called you to do. He's saying, maybe it's not right there. I have something else in mind and I will show you why it's more important at this moment. Church, has God called you to something that you have stopped because you didn't think God was working? When maybe it just looks different than you thought it would. We can't get so caught up, get this, in the things that we think we helped God plan. I'm going to say that again. We can't get so caught up in the things that we think we helped God to plan. God will lead you, to the thing that you are meant to do, the place, the people that you are meant to do it with. But it might look different than you planned. It might cost you more or in a different way than you initially planned for. And that's why we have to remember, get this, our life belongs to God. When you get worried about what the future holds, remember, God takes care of you. Why would he stop now? We are not our own. But church, who is in charge of your life? Who is in charge of it? So after Paul was led not to go a certain way, he went the only way he could go. And then, watch this, again, Paul sets to go out, and the Holy Spirit says no. Does the Holy Spirit ever say no to anyone else, or is that just me? A few of us in here. And this time, it says the Holy Spirit did not permit, or some translations say suffered. And it's two words in the original language there that means would not leave them alone, or would not let them be. And what that translates in my mind is the Holy Spirit was really annoying. You ever hear the Holy Spirit just saying, no, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. I will not let you do that. You need to not do that. This is one of those times. So the Holy Spirit will just not let up. He's saying, no, don't go that way. So again, Paul and his companions go the only way left to go. And they wind up in a city called Troas. Troas. And this is literally, get this, the end of the road. It's the end of the road. There is nowhere else to go. And does life feel like that sometimes? God, there is nowhere else to go. For Paul, what that looked like is there was ocean to the north, ocean to the west. They were told they could not go east, and they came from the south. God, where do I even go? What do I do? And this is where the Lord gives Paul a vision of a man from Macedonia saying, come and help us. And I want to note a few things in that passage. First off, there's three different names for God mentioned in the leading of Paul. The first one was the Holy Spirit. The second one was the Spirit of Jesus. The third one was the Lord. And I think the author did that on purpose to show the unity of God in the Trinity leading us. And it is the plan of the Lord God, our Father, through the work of Jesus on the cross, that sends the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that led Jesus, now leads you. And then second, I want to note here that two out of the three times the Holy Spirit speaks, he's telling Paul what not to do. And I don't know about you, but I can relate to that pretty well. Because I feel like for most of us, the Holy Spirit says, don't do that. Don't do that. We are prone to wandering a little off the path. So the Holy Spirit is constantly nudging us. He's already told us, hey, go here. Now I've just got to walk with you step by step. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. We have a dog that doesn't always listen. I don't know if anyone else has one of those. And when we take him on a walk, even with a leash or without a leash, I'm constantly saying, come here, come here. Don't go there. Don't go there. Please don't stop. And you know what? He's still not great at listening. But overall, he keeps by my side. And I think we can relate to that in the spirit sometimes. We go over here, over there, but we're trying our best to stay on the path. Third, I think you can relate to this one. God could have given Paul that vision at the beginning. Do you ever ask God that? Why didn't you just tell me that from the start? Can anyone else relate to that? I'll tell you, I've asked that question throughout my life. If I would have just known, And God probably looks down and said, yeah, if you would have just known, you would have messed it up. Only God knows. But get this. There is a blessing of step-by-step walking with the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine if he just said, hey, in 10 years, I'm going to do this. I'll talk to you then. How much better it is to maybe not always know the 10-year plan, but to know the one-step plan. As hard as that is, I would rather have the Holy Spirit walk with me step by step than to just know 10 years from now and say, bless you. Hope you make it. And for Paul, at the end of the road, the plan was to take a ship somewhere that he did not originally intend. It was not on his radar at all. And church, God might be calling you to do something that you did not originally plan or was not in your wildest dreams. And I want to tell you this morning. Take the ship. Take that path where God will lead you, whatever that looks like. You might not know the end result. Because watch this. Timothy was picked up along Paul's original plan, which is what God wanted, and it was a huge blessing. But what Paul hadn't intended on was this. When you read these verses, there is a small word you have to pick up on. It's really easily lost or missed. It's the word we. The word we. And it's that word that Luke, the author of this book and one of the four gospels, the Gospel of Luke, uses to let you know that this is where he entered the story. He met Paul for the first time and joined the journey and would one day write the book of Acts and the book of Luke. You see, Paul's ability to follow the Holy Spirit's plan led him to Timothy. And Paul's ability to follow the Holy Spirit's spontaneous leading led him to Luke, who would help him on large parts of his mission and in part of the New Testament for us. Following God in both the planning and the spontaneous is important for the path that God has you on. I mentioned earlier that some people have trouble planning, but others have trouble relinquishing control. Yeah, you didn't know I was talking about you this morning. You thought it was those other people. And letting God be spontaneous in their life. This wasn't in my notes, but a good example of this is sometimes we marry people that are the opposite of us. Probably had me mention this a little bit before. I'm a bit more of a planner than my wife. But when things need to happen spontaneously, she's your go-to person. It'll just somehow happen. That's the way she lives her life. And we're both needed. Planning and spontaneous. Can you receive that this morning? For all of you planners, you need a little spontaneity in your life. Helps you not be so freaked out all the time, stressed. For all you spontaneous people, you already know you need some planning in your life. Churches and Christians seem to err on either side of that, where we plan so much that the Holy Spirit isn't allowed to move. Or we plan so little that it's more emotionalism and chaos than the Holy Spirit actually moving in his order. Think for a moment, what would the Church of the Valley, wherever you're from, look like if we planned together for God to move and then just let him do it in every and any given moment? It's the same thing in our lives. To walk the line of planning to live for him and then letting him do the living in us at every moment. You see, God wants to live through you as well. Church, what vision is God wanting to give you? Or maybe you've already had it and haven't pursued it yet. Maybe today God wants to give you that direction. Are you listening to receive it? It says Paul immediately sought to do what God said. The best thing you can ever do is to immediately follow God. It's time to go all out on your pursuit of what God has said. Do it today. Do it right now. If you have to, you can take out your phone and put it in your calendar. We won't call security on you or anything. What if God has a Timothy to bring into your life, or a Luke to bring alongside you? Or what if he has a Macedonian call for you? What if it's as simple as when you leave here today, God says, don't go out to eat there. Go over here. Because he has something or someone planned for you to meet. Church, it's those simple things that he wants to do in us. It's not all the big things. Sure, he's glad that you're here at church today. That's great. But that's not enough. He wants to live every moment through you. It's all the small things. Right now, wherever you're from, maybe it's the Mat-Su Valley, is your Macedonia. Who were you sent to find and or share the gospel? The third and final thought is the result. The result. We saw in the planning that Paul was given Timothy. We saw in the spontaneous he was given Luke. And now we're going to see that in the result, he was given a lady named Lydia. The people of Macedonia were open and ready for the gospel. That's why he was sent there, to preach the good news about Jesus. And God sent a few people that were just obedient. Obedience doesn't just affect you. It affects the other people around you, even to eternal salvation. Your obedience is part of the plan of salvation for people. Did you know that? Your being obedient helps people get saved. Helps them get healed, delivered, set free. Did you know there are people out there right now that are praying to be healed? The question is, how obedient will you be? If you didn't know, as a Christian, this is the path for you. It's not just a preacher being hard on us. This is just the simplicity of the path. It is what you are called to do and be. It's what I am called to do and be. Will we listen? Church, every person in the story we just read accepted Christ and was immediately commissioned to do something. You are useful and you are needed in the kingdom of God, in this church, wherever you are from. You are useful and you are needed. But you have to step into that. I'll tell you this, as a pastor, if you didn't know, pastors are always looking for volunteers. But what you also didn't know, we don't know everyone close enough to know the giftings that you might have or what you are called to do. Because get this, if you don't tell people, we're not going to know. But if something has gripped your heart, or maybe the opposite of that, you just want to be used, You can be used. Tell somebody. Step into that. We're all called to it. And watch this here with Paul. God gave them a direction, and he made it a general area, not even incredibly specific. And I think God does that a lot with us. Doesn't make it super specific all the time. But they headed that direction that they thought was right, and the Holy Spirit didn't say no. So they went to the biggest city in the area. That's the best thing that they knew to do. They were just doing what they were accustomed to do. Sometimes that's all God asks of you. Do what you know you're supposed to do. And it says that they went to the riverside where prayer was customarily made every week, just like when you go to church every week. When there wasn't a synagogue, or you were kicked out of a synagogue, the Jewish people would go often to a riverside, somewhere out of town, to pray and to worship. So that's what Paul did. And then Paul just began sharing Jesus in a normal way, part of his life. But he did it in the right place at the right time where God was leading him, where people had had their hearts prepared by the Lord. And he met a woman named Lydia that was ready to receive the gospel, who was not only the first convert there, but started the first church in her house. In her house. Side note, but that's a woman. There's a lot of things going on right now along that side. We're just going to read the Bible. We don't always see how things are going to work out, but we know God is working them out. Lydia, it says, begged them. She begged them to come to her house and stay. There are people out there that would beg you and I to know Jesus, to receive healing, to be delivered. And get this, God sent you. He sent you. He doesn't just send a pastor. A pastor is just to equip you. If you didn't know, if you have accepted Christ today and you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you have everything that you need to go. You have everything that you need for the Holy Spirit to say, talk to this person, pray for this person. And you, do you know what you can expect? You can expect God to show up. You can expect that people might get healed when you pray for them. You can expect that he might give you a word of knowledge for somebody. You can expect him to move in your life because he wants to. And he wants to move in you and through you in our valley, in Wasilla, in Palmer, everywhere around here. If you're on vacation, he can move through you. He wants to move through you, and he's calling you today saying, I have a call on you. This is your Macedonian call. You are meant for something more than you've walked in yet. And I've given you everything that you need to accomplish it. And then, after Lydia, he meets a slave girl who gets delivered, a demon cast out. And the kingdom of God is advancing, taking ground, just like God wants to do in and through you and I. But watch this. In the Spirit's leading, this is probably the most Spirit-led thing right here. Paul is thrown into prison. Can you say amen? Paul is thrown into prison. Sometimes we question the Holy Spirit and say, God, if I was following you, or if this person was following you, they wouldn't be in prison right now. Paul was often thrown into prison. Because watch this, if you didn't know, following the Holy Spirit will get you into trouble. And that's okay. But with that, Paul wasn't being weird about it. He wasn't being flaky. He didn't have a big sign on the street corner yelling at people to go to hell. He walked in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit attracted people to hear the gospel. And the way Paul lived attracted people to hear the gospel. And all of that attracted the enemy, who, if you didn't know, is always a pawn in the hand of God. You see, the enemy sent Paul to prison. But God sent Paul to prison to see a jailer saved and his family. You can ask what the Holy Spirit is doing, but trust that he is working and he has a plan. This morning, if you need help walking that path, if you need to recommit to that path, or the vision that God has already given you, or maybe you're praying for a vision, if you need to know the next step on what you are doing, whatever is next, if you need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit to accomplish what is before you, or even to just stay on that path, then this is your Macedonian call. God is saying, I am with you, and I will lead you. Don't be afraid of changing directions. It might not be what you thought it was. It's going to be better. It's going to be better. It might not be as comfortable or relaxing. It might be a little stressful, but it is going to be better. And just like I said earlier, you have to keep in that place where you give your worries, your fears, your doubts to God and say, I trust you. And when I fall, I'm going to fall on that same path because I trust you. I trust that your hand and your hand alone will guide me and lift me up and keep me on the path and set me to where I'm going. And I might not know the 10-year plan, but I know the first one of the 10 steps I'll take next. And that is to say, I will answer your call, Lord, and I will be on your path, and I will remain there. This is my commitment. If that is your commitment today, then stand across this place if you are able. As the worship and the prayer teams come, maybe this morning you need to be better about involving God in your plans, not making them all on your own. Or maybe you need to be better about letting him push you into what you feel like is spontaneous because he wants to tell you that he planned it all. And maybe you need to be open to receiving a Timothy or a Luke or a Lydia or being one to someone. This is your call. Who are you willing to reach? Where are you willing to go? Do you trust in God? If you need to recommit to that path this morning, if you want to see what God desires in your life, and you haven't been pursuing that all the way, or maybe you're at a Troas situation and you don't know where to go, the Holy Spirit wants to meet you this morning. And again, where we lift him up, his presence is here. And where his presence is, there's not only freedom, but there is a voice that speaks to you. And we would love to pray with you on that. If that's you, come. Come and commit. Come and say, this is my Macedonian call, and I'm pursuing it with all my heart. Come. And if you need prayer for anything else, come. Healing, deliverance, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. God wants to move and he wants to work. I know it's hot in this place. I'll tell you this, God is even hotter. Let's let him work, even when we're uncomfortable. Be brave enough to step forward and let God move. He has a calling on you. Let's go into worship.